Welcome back to the Nerd Nest podcast. I'm Bill, and today we've got Kyle is back. We haven't seen him in ages. Kyle, how's it going, man?
Pretty good on a new continent, or an old continent, but new for the channel.
And, you know, compared to the other ones, it's a new continent.
It's a new world.
Yeah, the new world. Rich, what's going on, man?
Not too much, man. Having a good weekend. How are you?
I'm awesome. I took a week off from content creation, and I needed it, and it was really good. Awesome. But that's why there wasn't an episode last week, and I do feel kind of bad because I didn't tell anybody. I just didn't post it, and then I just like, oh, it's Friday, time for my Friday video. I need more time off, and then I didn't post anything there either, so I feel bad about that. Carrie, have you been working?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of things behind the scenes, non-YouTube stuff. I have been, it's been exceedingly busy for me. So there's been a lot of stuff going on that, have been very taxing to me. And when I have to get to YouTube stuff, I just kind of don't want to do anything. So I just want to be a vegetable.
I think Rich and I were talking about this where we are, our love of doing this stuff kind of comes in fits and spurts. It's like, yes, I'm loving doing this. 1,000%. And then other times you're just like, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, and I don't feel like it right now. But you know what? Yeah. I do feel like doing right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, for us four, we have day jobs, so it's a lot. It's a lot to go through. I know that even with Russ doing this full time, you know, it wears on him too. So, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. Right now, I think the thing that most weighs on me is that I'm still behind. Like, I'm still covering stuff that I need to, I've like have obligations that I've said I was going to do. Yeah. So I'm chipping away at it and I'm making progress. But it's preventing me from doing the things that I want to do. Like things that I'm like, oh yeah, let me talk about this because I can't do that yet. So it's a bit of a struggle.
Yep.
Yeah. I understand the feeling. Let's come back to that in a little bit and talk about the things that you're chipping away at so that, you know, people can check those out. But first I want to talk about this weird idea that we already have the Switch Pro. It's already here. It's the Steam Deck. Mario Wonder got leaked, and it's already running on the Steam Deck. Now, last time that we had a big leak like this, it was Tears of the Kingdom. And then we didn't see Kyle for like a month for reasons. I'm not sure if they were related to that or not. But, you know, Kyle ended up picking up Tears of the Kingdom and you know, buying it the right way, the way that you're supposed to. But there's a lot of people out there that were playing those games, and we had Super Mario Wonder, and there's people already like speed running the game. Are any of you currently, have any of you seen the game running anywhere?
Yeah, I've seen. You broke the news to me. I guess I was offline the last 24 hours because I did not see this news until you mentioned it in a chat with me, and I looked it up, and yeah, I watched it on Steam Deck and I watched it on a PC, like a 1440p 60fps desktop, and yeah, it looks great. From there, I'm not going to look at any more footage because there are two types of spoilers, right? There are story spoilers, which I think most people care about, and there are like mechanical spoilers, and I actually care about like mechanical spoilers, and I really don't care about story spoilers. So I'm not going to watch anymore until I can play, but it looked pretty good.
I saw some posts where people were talking about, you know, who cares about spoilers for Mario because, you know, the story's paper thin.
Right.
And I totally agree with them, but I also agree with you. Like, you don't want to see where these secrets are. Like,
yeah.
I wish I could go back and play Super Mario Brothers 3 for the first time and, you know, duck down on that white block and fall through it and be like, what the heck just happened? Why am I behind stuff? But I never got that because I saw, what's the movie? The Wizard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Wizard. Yep. I saw the Wizard, and they showed that in the movie, and I was like, oh. All right, well, now everybody knows how to do that. Yep. Carrie, you nodded your head saying you've seen the footage. What did you think of it so far? Are you a Mario guy?
I was huge on Mario 64. I'm like still – Mario 64 is still probably my favorite Mario game to date. I really liked Odyssey. Odyssey did a lot of things that were similar to Mario 64. But then they went like crazy with just like get 5 million moons instead of just like 100 like really like well-placed moons. Like if you're just going to a shop and buying a moon, that's not anything. That's just, you know, a time sink thing. So I care more about the 3D Marios than I do the 2D Marios. So I don't have like when the Wii versions came out, I wasn't super big on them. So Wonder is going in that route. Having said that, I loved Super Mario World when I got my Super Nintendo for my birthday. The yellow cape was huge. Like I just really enjoyed playing that game. I wouldn't say that I'm like uber eager to play a Mario game. Like I'm not as hyped as I am for a Zelda game as a Mario game, but I still will go ahead and play it because I want to experience it. So, I mean, when the news broke, I was just like, well, let me go ahead and, you know, get that. So it's just like I'm indifferent, I would say, for 2D Mario. I don't hate it. I'm not hyped for it. I'm curious.
I feel like
And
Kyle is
go
probably a
ahead.
big 3D Mario fan as well compared to 2D.
Yeah, I'm not a side scroller
I
Like,
thought
not
it
at all.
was
You don't
because of
like
the
the other
GameCube.
2D Marios?
Not that much. Super Mario World 3 is pretty good. But like I don't know, just side scrollers in general aren't my thing.
That's fair. What were you saying, Rich?
I was gonna say I felt like it was just the timing wise, right? Like you grew up playing more GameCube, it feels like GameCube, Wii, so around
N64, like
N64.
Super Mario 64 was one of my first games, so yeah.
For me, I'm alone here, I think. Well, maybe Bill, you're with me, but I'm a huge fan of the 2D Marios. So like Super Mario Brothers Wii U, and I've gotten made fun of this before, but might be one of my favorite Marios. Might be my favorite Mario. Like it's really good and it's actually challenging. Especially like the Luigi U version where you have like the time limit and stuff like that. It's good. So I'm excited about this.
Yeah, you're not alone on that. I'm not a huge fan of the new Super Mario Brothers games. Like, I think the first one was pretty good, and then the one that was on the 3DS, the one with all the coins or whatever, that one was pretty good. But then it just started feeling kind of like, okay, there's more of the same and more of the same. But this is the first time where I've looked at it and been like, oh, wow, this is exciting. They're really changing things up, and I can't wait to see what that's like. And I mean, I know it's something as simple as just the animations, how Mario moves through the world. That is really, really interesting to me. And it brings me back to when, like, I was a kid and one of my friends rode his bike over and he was like, dude, they have a new Mario game up at Woolworth, which was our like local shop. And we rode our bikes up there
Classic.
and we played it on the little TV in the electronics department, and we played it until the guy said you got to leave, and you could only play for 5 minutes and the game would automatically reset. But we kept playing. The guy would kick us out and then we would come back the next day and do the same thing again. It was amazing. And this feels like such a like the same kind of leap forward from Super Mario 3 to Super Mario World. And this feels like that same leap forward from Super Mario, whatever the last one was, to Super Mario Wonder. So I'm very hyped for it, but it's already out there and people are able to play it on PC. Like you said, Rich, they're running it at like 2x scaling and it's running at 60 frames per second. I saw a video where a guy was playing it on his Steam Deck and they're using Ryujinx. And they're maintaining around 30 frames per second, which is, you don't want to play a Mario game like that, but like that's with it just coming out. So I figured we're definitely going to get some performance updates. Kyle, do you think they'll be able to hit 60 frames per second with the emulation of this, with it, starting at 30?
I'm sure they will. Ryu is a slower emulator because it's much more accurate. Yuzu will probably hit 60 as soon as they get official support for it, which for Tears of the Kingdom was like on day three. So I'm sure it'll get up there. It takes some dirtier hacks to get there, but it won't have any gameplay effect whatsoever. So yeah, I'm sure it'll get
That's
there.
awesome. I
I
I'm
heard
not playing it. at all until it comes out, and I will just buy it and play it on my Switch because that's where I want to play it. But I know that there's a lot of people who want to play it on a much more comfortable handheld. Rich, I'm guessing you are probably, even if you buy it, which I'm guessing you will, you're going to be playing it on your Steam Deck, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely buying it, and I will absolutely play it on my Steam Deck. Or I've been using the One X Fly a lot. I'll play it on that. So I'm definitely playing it on a PC handheld, 1,000%. I also heard that the engine is the same engine as like Tears of the Kingdom / Splatoon 3. So, yeah.
Which is surprising. I forget what that's called. It's like the... It's got two words. It's like the Parcel something engine. It's a weird name.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool that they're able to run... Like, those are three very different styles of games, and they're all running in that same engine. Were you about to say something, Kyle?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Carrie, you said that you've got that thing. Have you played it?
No, I just converted it from XDI to NSP and moved it over to a place where it can be. Again, I'm not super hyped for it. I haven't, but... I'm in a, you know, there's actually a story that we should talk about. I'm in a Discord where a lot of things come like immediately, anytime, like big news stuff. So there was a SteamOS beta that was like available, and I actually had it running on an Aya Neo device. This is prior to the Steam Deck coming out. So I had that, and there was like some stuff, and then Valve was like, please don't. And I was like, all right. But there's a story there that we could talk about. So I'm in a Discord where I get news fast. So I had it fast, but I haven't done anything on it, only because, again, I'm not hyped.
So the SteamOS beta, you were talking, this is before the Steam Deck came out, not recently.
No. This is 7 months before the Steam Deck came out.
Okay.
Wow. So it was real early, and I put it on the Aya Neo original, the original Aya Neo.
And yet we still don't have the official release. I just cannot wait for that official release. All right, well, that's Super Mario Wonder. You know, before we move on from Nintendo Switch, I recently saw yet another article that said that the Switch 2, whatever the heck it's going to be, might not be backwards compatible. And I got to say, if that happens, I'm not buying it. Like, I bought every Nintendo system. I got them all behind me. All right, even the Wii U, which everybody hated. I loved that system. Although one person bought a Wii U this year. Like, there was a story that I read about the other day. Yeah. There was one Wii U sold this year, which is one more than was sold last year. So that's pretty impressive. That's a 100% increase, I guess.
Very nice.
But like, I got all the systems, but if I can't play my Switch games on this thing, unless it's got something that really, really compels me to pick it up, I just don't see myself moving forward, and getting one. I've got too many other systems to play games on. I got too many other games to play. And with, I think I got 300 games on my Switch, and they're all digital. They're almost all digital. If I can't play those games, I don't know that I'll pick up the next one. Rich, you're a handheld guy. The next Switch that comes out, if it's not backwards compatible, does that change your math?
I'm not gonna lie, I'm a sucker for a Nintendo game, so I'm buying it regardless. Absolutely regardless, I'm buying it.
Nintendo, don't listen to this guy.
But I don't know. I'm bullish on Nintendo not being complete idiots again. Like, I think they're gonna go backwards compatible. I think it's gonna be a hybrid. Like, I don't think and we always talk about Nintendo kind of going way too far with their gimmicks and stuff like that. I don't think it'll be that far. I think their gimmick is gonna be like a light gimmick. Like, now you can play the Switch vertically instead of just horizontally. You'll have the option to play vertically. It'll be like a slight gimmick, I think, and I think they're otherwise gonna bank on just going forward with the same Switch success.
You know, not only that, while you said that, you know, we've given them a hard time for going hard on their gimmicks, one thing that occurs to me is that this is the first time that we've had new leadership in charge in a really long time, because basically, I forget his name, but the guy that took over for Iwata, basically said, I am just executing Iwata's plan with the Switch. Like, that was his plan. I'm executing his plan. And now we've got Shintaro Furukawa. Who knows what that guy's going to do? So maybe they won't lean into the gimmicks nearly as much. At least, you know, fingers crossed from me. Let's move on and talk about Microsoft. Because Microsoft finally closed the deal. And it's been, has it been 2 years?
It's been a while, yeah. 18 months? Two years?
18 months? I think I thought it was longer than that, but
yeah, it feels like a long time.
It feels like 20 years.
Maybe 24 months? I know it was not like an even 2 years. It's either, it's like 24 months, something like that. It's like, yeah, it's been a while.
It has. And we've been talking about it for a really long time. They finally closed the deal, although I know the FTC is still like, we're coming after you, but I don't know that they can actually change anything. And Microsoft seems awfully confident because they put out a trailer saying all these games are ours now.
That was a good trailer.
Yeah, it was a good trailer. I liked it. I like that they included Crash Bandicoot, which was just essentially the PlayStation mascot. That's kind of shots fired. But
yeah,
I don't want to like start console wars here or anything. But the thing that I got thinking about is there's a lot of games, Activision games, that we have not seen, a lot of franchises that we've not seen in a really long time. And I was wondering if there were any Activision franchises, and in the show notes, guys, I have a link to that lists all the Activision franchises that Microsoft now owns. Is there a franchise on that list that you really, really want to bring back? What do you think, Kyle? Is there anything? Is there any old Activision games that you want to see brought back in a new way, or maybe just remakes?
Yeah, I think I was originally going to say Guitar Hero because I grew up with that a lot, but I also know that there are some really good fan recreations of that, so I'm going to change my answer to Spyro. The Reignited Trilogy was amazing, and I would love to see a number four.
That's like a real awesome. Number four. A real number four. Okay. I have to admit, I never played Spyro. I bought the Reignited Trilogy to play on my Steam Deck, and I played it for, I think, 15 minutes and was bored. It just was not for me. But I know that people adore the Spyro games, and it was always kind of a shame that those games kind of died off in favor of, what was the one with the little plastic doohickeys? My son had a thousand of these things.
Skylanders.
Oh, yeah.
Skylanders, yeah. There was like a billion Skylanders games, and those were obviously way more monetizable. So Activision leaned really, really hard into that. And, you know, that was like this, I think that was a Spyro spinoff, right? Wasn't it, Kyle?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
I think it was like Spyro and Crash were both in there.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So I would love to see a new Spyro game for all of the Spyro fans out there. They've been waiting a really long time. My wife does not play video games. She loves Spyro the Dragon. I remember she said that she remembered playing Spyro the Dragon when she was younger. Rich, what about you, man? What from the list is jumping out at you?
Do I have to pick one is the question?
No, you could pick one first, and we can come back to more later.
All right. So I know I talked to you about like StarCraft and how much the PC players are going to want StarCraft to come back in some way. That's not on my list. That's definitely like something I think a lot of people will enjoy. But on my list, I'm going to go with... I'm choosing between either Blackthorn. Is it Blackthorn? Yeah. Or Geometry Wars. It has to be one of those two for me. Blackthorn or Geometry Wars. So I spent so many hundreds of hours on Geometry Wars. And I would love a one that like goes back to the one or two formula, especially two with the different like game modes that they had. And then with Blackthorn, it's kind of the opposite. I never really spent a lot of time with it, but it's one of those games whenever I'm trying out emulation, I start out with Blackthorn. It's just a really fun like action platformer in a like PC style. So it's really fun. I like that one, and they need to bring that back.
You know what I'd love to see with Geometry Wars? And people are going to be super mad at me in the comments. A battle royale where you are on a huge sphere and you've got like you're fighting the enemies, getting power ups and stuff. But then you know you come across a player, and that sphere that you're on just keeps getting smaller over time until there's only a couple left. I think that would be really fun.
That would be awesome,
Carrie. What from the list is interesting to you?
Okay, so this first off, Blackthorn, the genre that it is actually called cinematic platformers.
Yes,
much like Out of This World, Another World, whichever one. So yeah, they're called cinematic platformers. The dude that like made the genre, forget his name. He's a French guy. But Out of This World is such an amazing cinematic platformer in terms of pacing. If you don't know exactly what you're doing, right, like you're still, but there's this kind of forward force that's always like pushing you forward, and there's a lot of moments in there. Typically, cinematic platformers are always like grid-like in their types of how they're moving about. So like Abe's Odyssey would fall under there. There's like a lot of Prince of Persia, that type of stuff. So they're really awesome thing. I think that would be super worthwhile. There's a part of me that thinks that all of these older IPs would be amazing to kind of just fill in some little gaps in Game Pass. For me, my choice is going to be Space Quest or King's Quest. And I would love it if Microsoft was like, here's $1 million or here's $2 million and give it to Wadget Eye Games. These guys have been doing like traditional point and click adventure games.
They've been killing it.
Yeah, doing it in the Sierra, like the old Sierra type of style.
Are those the guys that did Thimbleweed Park?
No, that's Ron Gilbert. Gilbert did that. He came away from Double Fine. Wadget Eye Games is the guy that he did like the Shiva, the Blackwell Epiphany. Like if you take a look at his game, like the series of games that he does, they do an amazing job with the point and click adventure game series. And like $1 million or $2 million is nothing to Microsoft. That's nothing to Xbox. So just like, hey, you're a studio and you've consistently created great point and click adventure games. Here's $1 million. Here's $2 million. Make us a Space Quest or a King's Quest game like that, and we're just going to have it on Game Pass, and it'll just be another thing that people on Game Pass could play. I think that would be something I would love. You know, the problem is like when King's Quest was remade, it had this huge budget, had like all new like visual style and all this stuff that went into it, and the people that liked those games don't necessarily care about that. So it's just like, just go back to the roots of how it was, and I think you're going to find a better appreciation for that, and you don't have to spend as much. And much like how Rich said for like Geometry Wars was a quintessential title for XBLA. Like the idea that XBLA was the arcade of Xbox, and it was very high score oriented. So like the leaderboards were like a big thing on Geometry Wars. So there's I don't know, there's like different, those are like different play styles, and I would say that Microsoft has this whole like huge new treasure trove of IP that they shouldn't spend a lot of money on in terms of making games. They should just employ these very small studios, give them a few million dollars, which is nothing to them, but it's huge for these small studios, and they'd be able to crank out some quality stuff. So I think that's the angle that I would like them to target it at, and Game Pass allows them to like think about it in that respect.
I think it's Square, right, that has the program where you can like pitch them a game, like an indie game based on their IP. Microsoft should absolutely do that. Have a system like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, I feel like this is something that I said that LucasArts, I don't know who it is now does the Star Wars games. That I wanted them to do that with Disney, but instead they ended up handing everything to EA, and we're like, you're the only people that can make Star Wars stuff. And I always thought that was a goofy idea, because there's so much potential in the Star Wars universe that you should, you know, let lots of devs do it. And still we have, I think, EA and now Ubisoft, and that's it. Yeah. Like, there should be 1,000 Star Wars games, because it's such a cool place that people love. And then just have like a panel of people that say yes to this, no to that. That's a great idea. That's terrible. And you're right, Kerry. Microsoft should do the same thing and get these little developers that they've proven themselves on their own IP. Well, all right, now let's hand them something else. I got to be honest, Rich. I was really shocked that you didn't say Hexen or Heretic, because you're always the boomer shooter guy. And I was really? I'm shocked.
I somehow never got into those. So I got into Doom really heavy, and I do want to see Hexen or Heretic, but I just never got into them. So Blackthorn is something I go to a lot. Again, I've only played like the first 30 minutes to 60 minutes, but I go to that 30 minutes, 60 minutes a lot. And Geometry Wars, I just spent so many hours on that. That needs to come back.
Yeah, I think that Geometry Wars is a good shout. And I don't think I would have thought of it, but it's definitely cool. I posted a poll on my channel. I came up with like 5 ideas that they could do. Instead of just bringing back games, I wanted to see them in different genres or at least changed in some way. And so one of the things that I said is that I would like to see is a side-scrolling Pitfall game that's a Metroidvania roguelike, kind of like Dead Cells. I think that would be really, really fun, using the Pitfall IP. You've got the swinging, you've got giant scorpions and stuff to deal with. I think that would be really fun. Quest as a third-person detective game. I personally despise point-and-click adventures, because I always think I'm going to like them, but what ends up happening is I get an idea in my head, this remote control is used for in this particular way, and then I get to a puzzle and I don't think to use the thing that I have in my inventory, and I'm like, what am I doing wrong? And then I give up and move on. But I would love to see like a Police Quest third person detective game. Hexen, I was surprised that you didn't say Hexen. I would like to see it as a 4-player co-op shooter, where you've got a rogue, a mage, other classes.
That
with that
awesome
magic stuff, but have it be a shooter, which is very similar to, what was that one that has the art that's similar
to... It just came out like a month ago, right? Like
it did, but it didn't come. It wasn't well received, and I can't think of the name of it, but it was gorgeous looking. I love the art style for it. I can see that Rich is...
Mythforce, I think.
Mythforce, yes. Thank you, Kyle. Yeah, like Mythforce, but, good. And sorry to the Mythforce people. I haven't played it. I've just read that other people didn't think it was very good. I would love to see a new Lost Vikings, and I would love to see a first-person shooter in the StarCraft universe. All that stuff would be good. And I asked people what they wanted. Most people said StarCraft. They really wanted to see a StarCraft FPS. And
StarCraft Ghosts.
StarCraft Ghosts, the one that, Blizzard was working on for a really long time, and then they just gave up. Stephanie Requiem left a comment. They said Turrican returns as a true 2D Metroid like. I don't have a lot of love for Turrican. Do you guys?
I love Turrican. I didn't know it was owned by Activision.
Maybe they didn't understand the assignment. I'm not sure. I didn't look that up.
I didn't look it up either, because I commented under that one, because I love that idea, but I have no idea if that's Activision or not.
Same.
It's Accolade. Who was Accolade bought out by?
Yeah, good question.
That's the thing. Everybody keeps buying each other. In fact, if you look at that that thing it says like every Activision thing that's now owned, it says things like After Activision acquired Raven Software in 1997. After Activision acquired Vivendi Universal in 2008. So
yeah,
it was Infogrames and then Atari.
Oh. Okay, so Atari owns that now?
Atari SA, yeah.
No Turrican.
Maybe
for
it'll
us.
Come out for the Atari 2600 Plus.
Yeah.
Which I think I am the only person in the world to buy one.
Couple more games that should come out. Yeah. So, by the way, I love the idea of like contracting other studios, spending less money on these. These are going to be experimental. I'm totally with that. SWAT. So SWAT 4 is like a cult classic.
Right.
I don't have a lot of time with it myself. I just know like how big it is. So like immersive sim, but like make it police oriented. That's pretty cool.
Can I interrupt? I have a question about that. Is that the one where it was like turn-based tactical?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was thinking of the same
game. Wait,
was it
turn-based? I know it was tactical. I don't remember whether or not it was turn-based. I think
nobody seems to know. That's okay.
I never played
Go ahead. I just wanted to. I knew it was a tactical game, but I wasn't sure if it was the one that I'm thinking of. But what were you saying, Rich?
One more. I know Carrie's going to agree with me on this one. I think we talked about it on this podcast. Prototype. So, like, came out around the same time as Infamous. I don't know how well it's aged, but I do know I didn't like Infamous. Everybody loved Infamous. I didn't like Infamous. I was Prototype all the way. Prototype was an amazing game. Very campy story.
It's aged pretty well.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. Yeah. Tell me more.
I played it maybe a year or two ago through 1 and 2 again, and it aged pretty well. It wouldn't need that many changes to like fare pretty well nowadays, I don't think.
Yeah.
It was just dumb fun running around the city and
That's
destroying
it.
Everything.
It's just dumb fun. Yeah. I'm with you.
I remember Infamous coming out, and I was like, this isn't good at all. Goodness gracious, why is the game escaping me? It's the GTA Cyborg. Everyone bought it to get the Halo 3 beta.
Oh.
And it turned out being
Crackdown.
A good game.
It starts with
a
C.
Crackdown.
Crackdown.
Crackdown, yeah.
Yeah.
That Crackdown. Was a good game.
Crackdown I loved. I remember being shocked at how, like, I actually enjoyed playing that. And then Infamous came out. I'm like, man, this is a poor clone of, like, whatever that was, like, trying to do.
The problem with me for Infamous was that it was trying too hard to be, like, a shooter. Like, it was a superhero sandbox game, but, like, when you broke down the mechanics, it really just played like a shooter. And that's not what I wanted. I wanted to, like... traverse the city and get into trouble and just do nonsense,
which is the same criticism that a lot of people had for that Kill the Justice League game that had come out, or I don't know if it actually came out. It was like they showed it off at, it might have been E3 or during like the Christmas show or whatever. They showed it off and everybody was like, this is just a shooter, like Captain Boomerang is like using guns.
Yeah,
which is just goofy. Like, why would you do that to this character where everybody just has guns? And then it's just leveraging this IP. It almost felt like they had a game, and then they said, well, we can skin it with these DC characters to try and get more interest in it. And did that game ever come out?
I think it did.
I don't know. That's how bad.
Nobody knows.
I have no idea.
That's how bad it did. All right. Anybody else have other game ideas that they want to see come back from Activision now that Microsoft is sitting there with big buckets of cash?
I mean, it sounds silly, and I don't think anyone would like really care, but I think that it would cost Microsoft nothing. But again, I would like a Zork, like just straight up text-based adventure game. Maybe use AI, do something that it's still text-based, but it's leveraging something else, like pivot on it, but keep it text-based. I would like that idea, and seeing where they could go with that. They have just a treasure trove of stuff, and I don't think that they need to spend a bunch of money. It's like the, the baking idea for Netflix. Like, how many baking shows do they have on Netflix? And people watch them, but it costs them like $12 to make. So they just keep on making another one. It's like, Whoopsie Doodle Baking season 18.
Text-based, but there were games that were text-based where you typed in prompts or whatever, but they had a picture. It wasn't a moving picture, but they had a picture. But with the things that AI can do now where you've got like, it generates what it is and then it just puts up this picture. If it's new, every time you play it, like a roguelike text-based adventure based on the Zork world that just... Because I think a text-based adventure, nobody's going to play that except for old farts like us who are trying to feel nostalgia. But if you at least got a picture, then I think maybe somebody would try it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think that they should spend all that much money on this. There's,
When I picture like modernizing Zork, though, I think like Talos Principle or The Witness. Like, I feel like there's something there that they can pull.
You know, yeah, there's that very, so like a Zork, right? And then you have that, what you would think of like what Bill's almost saying is that you have Myst, right? Myst came out and it like sold like gangbusters. It wouldn't sell that well today, but there is a mystique to Myst and Zork. And I would say also Talos Principle and The Witness, where you're placed in this environment and you're kind of just like on edge wondering what's going to happen because it just seems surreal and you're kind of going through it. So there's this mystique to that I personally really enjoy. But, you know, with how AI and text-based stuff has been going, if you could figure out a way to keep that on rails... So you don't let it go like, you know, just like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are coming into Zork World or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like it would keep you inside of the guardrails of the Zork universe, but allowing you to like the AI understanding where things are and you kind of naturally going through that with having any prompt being workable. I think that's a cool idea. And that's something that, you know, you don't have to make it very long and it would be super cheap and it would just be something to like, hey, this is on PC Game Pass or whatever, and just, you know, whatever. Play it or not.
If it recognizes your voice. If you could just sit there, instead of having to type stuff out, you could say, go north.
Yeah.
You know, on your microphone.
Yeah, even talking to it. That would be, like, that would be cool. Like, however they want to, like, frame this, do this, I don't think it would be all that much. I think that they could tap into some other stuff and do some really cool ideas that not everyone is going to play. But it doesn't need to get a lot of people playing it because Game Pass just needs a variety of stuff. So I don't know. That's just my idea.
Yeah. Kyle, you mentioned Guitar Hero. Are you a big Guitar Hero guy?
I was back when it existed, yeah.
Yeah?
I played a lot of Guitar Hero 1, 2, 3, World Tour, Rock Band 1 and 2.
Oh, actually, I can get it down. Yeah. I have my original Konami Guitar Hero 1 for PS1 when I imported it. It only has 3 buttons. I have it over there. I loved playing that. Yeah, but I'm also with Kyle. Like, Guitar Hero would be cool, but I think everyone got kind of, what was it, the plastic fatigue?
Yeah.
Where it was just like you always had to buy a box and no one was storing this stuff anywhere. And it was like a weird, like, eBay price shift. Like, it was like going for like $2 and then they all started breaking and people still liked playing it. And the availability of working stuff. I didn't like Guitar Hero Live, though. I bounced off a Guitar Hero Live very fast.
Same.
I didn't feel the 6 button string setup. I didn't like the FMV type of style that they had. I don't know. Guitar Hero 3 for me was like peak Guitar Hero. Guitar Hero 2 was pretty cool, but they were still in that realm of like, what I think they were like remixing the songs, right? They weren't getting the original songs.
They were covering them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So there was that tinge of like not official. I think Guitar Hero 3 was like the progression of Guitar Hero 3 was just amazing. Like you would be going through a track list of whatever venue you're on. And there was always like 2 songs in there that I was always like, oh, sick. I can't wait to play that song. So I just felt like there was a better progression in Guitar Hero 3. And so I would also raise my hand along with Kyle for another Guitar Hero.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in Team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
I feel like the advent of DLC has ruined that genre and made it completely... playing the actual games is fun. I had a Guitar Hero. I played it. In fact, I had surgery on my hand, and that's what I used for physical therapy was playing Guitar Hero because I was constantly moving my fingers around. I loved it. It was so much fun. But now, these days, it's like, okay, they're going to sell us these songs for the umpteenth time. You're going to pay for them, and then they'll shut down the service, and we'll all get screwed. And... that's the only reason I don't, that and the plastic fatigue, because I don't want a bunch of crap in my house. But that is the main, like the main thing about Guitar Hero that makes me say, that makes me nervous, like, because I think that they would convince me and I'd buy it and then I'd get screwed in the end.
I think the
Rich,
the
oh, other, go ahead, Carrie.
Sorry, real quick. I think the only thing that is not a positive for Guitar Hero is that it almost demands having a plastic toy accessory to use properly, and that is counter to how Game Pass works. I don't think that anyone oh, it's on Game Pass, but I need to buy a $50 controller or whatever. So that is not a benefit to Game Pass in terms of like, hey, we're adding this to Game Pass, and it's not immediately available. Like having it available on Game Pass is great. Maybe buying the guitar gets you a bunch of DLC songs or whatever, but there needs to be something. I don't know if it integrates with Game Pass very well.
Yeah.
That's a good point that I never thought of. What were you about to say, Kyle?
I was going to say, I think that's something that would sell, even if they didn't make a new game, would be like an elite level Guitar Hero controller.
Right.
Like, they could just come out with that and say, oh, hey, we have adapters for PS2. Go play it wherever you want. No, we don't care. That would they could probably mark that thing up 300%.
I could see that.
That's awesome. All right. Well, let us know what Activision games you want Microsoft to bring back from the dead. Because there's one thing that's for sure. As huge as Call of Duty is, this 68 billion dollar purchase was not just for Call of Duty, and there's so many properties that Microsoft now has access to that I really hope that they start throwing money at those properties so that we can get some of those to come back, if for no other reason than nostalgia. Before we move on and talk more about the news, has anybody have any games that they've been playing this week that they want to mention?
I'll go with just Next Fest, right? It's going on for another couple days, the 19th?
Yeah, I think three more days.
Yeah, so Next Fest is fun. I've played RoboCop. There's a game called Kid Bubblegum, which is just 2D pixel platform, but it's really fun. Is it Lord of the Faith or something of the Faith? The one that is like...
Metroidvania?
It's literally Bloodborne D-Make. Yeah. It's really good. The Last Faith, I think, is what it's called. Yeah. The Last Exterminator is another one, which is like a Duke Nukem style boomer
shooter.
That one
looks really cool.
It's fun. I like it. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff to try on Next Fest.
So, you mentioned RoboCop. What did you think of that? Because I played a little bit of that demo as well.
Yeah. I thought that they nailed it, right? Like in terms of like the campy weird, there was the video of someone playing it where like the guy keeled over, but then he like warped back to the scaffolding and like fell over the railing, and I'm like, yeah, that's perfect, that's RoboCop. So
yeah,
I think they nailed it. It had problems when I played it on Windows, just I had crashes and really bad stuttering, but I think it played better on Steam Deck from what I saw.
That's awesome. I haven't played it on Steam Deck. I only played it on my Windows PC, which is getting older. So it didn't run super well, but I really like the thing where I think it's you hold down your, traditionally it's the aim button on a first-person shooter, and it outlines all the dudes and says, there's a guy, there's a guy, there's a guy. I love that, because that's one of the things that I always hate is, like, you're playing a first-person shooter and there's somebody really far away and you don't really notice them, like, behind, like, this thing that's on fire and they're plinking away at your health and you're like, where is this damage coming from? Hold that button down and it highlights them for you. And then you shoot them and their heads explode, which is really intense. Although I think it's weird for RoboCop to not use his main, like, to switch to other guns. That seems weird to me. Anybody else play RoboCop? No? All right. I also played a game from NextFest called Enshrouded, which is very much like... What's the Viking game where you go... Where it's a survival game? Everybody was playing it.
Oh, Valheim?
Valheim, thank you. Valheim. Yeah. It's very much like Valheim. Except you have, like, this area which will, like, poison you unless you have something that protects you from that. I only played a little bit of it. Didn't run very well on my PC. I did not play it on my Steam Deck because it said that it didn't support controller. But then when I played it on my PC, it supported controller. And so I installed it, but I haven't checked it out yet. But that's pretty cool. I like that. I like the crafting system that's in the game. But there's something, like... When I played Valheim, the graphics, like when you look at a screenshot for Valheim, the graphics look bad. But when you play Valheim, the graphics are like, oh, this is really cool looking. There's a stylistic thing happening here. And I feel like they tried to do that with Enshrouded, but it didn't land with me. And it's not like I'm a graphics snob or anything, but if I'm going to play a game like that, I might just go back to Valheim anyway. Did anybody else get a chance to play Enshrouded?
Okay, no, I haven't played that one.
All right. Any Steam Next Fest games from you, Kyle?
No, I actually forgot it was going on this week. I've been very busy.
That's fair. What about you, Carrie?
I went through it when it first started, and I tweeted about like 6 or 7 games that I saw that caught my eye and I wanted to play. It's just that I've had a very, very busy week. So I haven't done anything.
That's fair. I also played Forza, which just came out, and I saw a lot of people complaining about that on PC. I'm playing it on Xbox, so I don't know anything about that. Yeah. But like, immediately the comparison comes to, you know, this or Gran Turismo 7. And I think that, you know, just by looking at it, I don't think it really matters. I'm not like a graphic snob, like I said. So when I'm playing and I'm like, a game looks really good. And when I play GT7, I'm like, oh, game looks pretty good. But the controller, the triggers on the DualSense controller with that force feedback is so much better than the triggers on the Xbox controller. And it makes me like GT7 more, even though I kind of like the progression stuff that you do in Forza more, where you go through and you level up your car and then you earn car points to buy parts for that car, which feels different than just earning money and then you either buy a car or buy parts for a car. It feels like, oh, I'm driving my Volkswagen Golf, so I'm earning points for my Volkswagen Golf. I like that progression better, but I ended up going back to GT7 because the triggers are just so much better on that. But I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm a weirdo. Anybody else get a chance to play Forza?
No, I saw the reviews and also just that it wasn't compatible on the Steam Deck too, and I guess I just stood away. I have enjoyed like my time with Horizon 5, and I don't really I never really got into the Sims, so GTs and motorsports. It just never happened for me. So I think I'm probably not going to pick this one up.
Although I will say that didn't Pierre Lugrafi tweet out something about they were working on making sure that the game works on Steam Deck? I don't know if they fixed it or not.
He said we're looking into it. And funny enough, after Motorsport came out, Horizon 5 stopped working on Steam Deck 2. And they did end up fixing Horizon 5, but they haven't fixed Motorsport yet. My understanding is that the problem with Motorsport has to do with a UWP app, Universal Windows Platform. Yep. And those are much less compatible on Linux. They're, for the most part, they're not compatible, right? So I don't know what the resolution is going to be, if there is going to be one.
Yeah, without Microsoft, is it available on? It's not available on Steam, I'm guessing.
No, it is. It's just there's some app that it also needs, and that app that it needs is a UWP app, some sort of service.
Yeah. Microsoft, what are you doing?
Yeah. Hopefully Microsoft steps in and fix it. I mean, they've been really keen on supporting the Steam Deck. I don't know what happened here. So hopefully it comes, but it may be some time before that does happen.
Yeah, that's too bad. I guess let's move on and talk about Diablo 4 coming to Steam next week. Carrie, I saw you tweet about it. You were like, I told you. Essentially, I told you it was going to happen, right? Yep. Are you buying it again? I feel like if this had happened months ago, you would have probably bought it a second time. But now, how are you feeling about that?
No, I can't. Like, I have it on BNet, and I'm going to have it on Game Pass. So I can't rationalize buying it on Steam. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that Microsoft, well, you know, like in my head, like, there's like things that have been planning, right? But there's like a thing that also for me, like Microsoft has embraced Steam as a platform. So I've been happy with how they've been, just whatever comes out day one, no problem. Here's it on Steam. It's on our store as well. We know people are going to buy on Steam, so we're going to be on Steam. It's on Xbox as well. And they just been putting it everywhere they possibly can, because it's like, well, if we make money there and people like it there, then great. I'm really happy about that. It remains to be seen what's going to happen with BNet after this acquisition as well. We'll see what happens there. There's just a lot of interesting questions that I don't think are super valuable to like kind of like speculate on, because whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting question. I'll just kind of see how they go forward.
I will say, I don't see them ever getting rid of Battle.net. As like a the back end, it's so tied into everything that they've done with Blizzard stuff. What were you going to say, Rich?
I don't know if it was prompted by the Microsoft acquisition, but they got rid of the Bethesda launcher super quick. Like, I don't know if that was already planned, but that happens. And, you know, Bethesda launcher is nowhere near the install base of Battle.net. And like you said, there's a lot integrated already, but they spent no time going... not even just getting rid of it, right? Like allowing people to now redeem their copy on Steam. So they transferred ownership of your Bethesda games to Steam, which was really nice, because I had Doom Eternal on Steam, and I mistakenly bought the DLC because it was on sale on a third party site. I bought it for the Bethesda launcher. So I had the DLC on the Bethesda launcher and I had the game on Steam, and I could never play it until Bethesda let me redeem the Steam copy, thankfully. So thank you, Microsoft.
That's awesome. Rich, Kyle, either you guys going to be picking up Diablo 4 for Steam? Kyle?
I might, if they turn around and stop making the seasons worse. but I haven't really played it since the first couple weeks, so it won't be for a while at least.
I'm not buying it. They do seem like they're saying the right things, right? Like they seem like they want to do that, or at least that's what they're telling us. So I'm curious to see, but I don't have enough of an interest, I think, in Diablo to buy it, but I'm interested in how other people receive it.
I was really interested in it. When that game came out, I played it like nonstop. And then when the first season came out, I was like, I can't be bothered. And I don't know why, because Diablo 3, which most people say is like the worst one, I couldn't stop playing. It was so good. I had so much fun playing that game. Diablo 4, I had fun. But as soon as I stopped, it's like I didn't have that pull saying, "Hey, you haven't murdered some demons lately. How about you get in here?" I just that completely evaporated really, really quickly for me. Well, we've been talking a lot about Microsoft. Let's talk about Sony for a bit. PS5 Slim. Boy, I did not think that Sony could make something more ugly than the PS5, and somehow life finds a way. That thing is really doofy looking, and it's got the little plastic kickstand to help you hold it up, because they won't just make a rectangle. But let's be honest, it doesn't really matter what it looks like. It just sits underneath your TV, and you essentially ignore it. Any of you interested in picking up the slim? Obviously not, Carrie, because you literally just bought the Spider-Man one like a week before they announced this. How'd you feel about that? Do you have any regrets?
No. After I saw it, I was like, whew, good thing I got that. Yeah, I have no regrets whatsoever. Yeah, I'm very happy with the Spider-Man version. I wouldn't, looking at the slim model, I mean, it seems to offer less and be the same price.
Or more.
Yeah, actually, the digital with, and then you need the stand as well, which is sold separately for some reason. It's really odd.
Wait, the stand is sold separately?
The vertical stand, not that little piece of plastic. The vertical stand is $30.
My favorite meme of that little kickstand thing is someone put a PlayStation, and then the little kickstand was Insomnia. This was like holding up the PS5.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really care about if a PS5 Pro came out, I'd be like, oh crap. Like, this is the worst time to get it. But it with the slim model alone, no. I don't really care about it.
Kyle, you play a lot of PS5. Like, you 100%ed Final Fantasy 16. I think you like the PS5.
Yeah.
Are you interested in getting the slim model at all?
I mean, first of all, I'll start by saying that I actually like the look of the PS5. Thank you very much.
Wrong if you want to, but go ahead.
Second of all, I'm not going to buy it, but only because Sony has a history of making their second and third generation consoles worse than the original iteration. So the PS4 Slim was worse thermally than the original PS4. The PS3 Slim was worse in every way than the PS3. The PS2 Slim was worse than the PS2, like all the way back. So I'm sure that there's something internally that has been degraded in some way to cut costs. They usually just make all their money on those later revisions rather than the first ones. So I will not be buying it.
What do you think about the idea that you can buy this thing, the digital version, take the side off, slap a disk drive in there, put a new side on? Do you think that's, I'm not going to say, to me, that seems like anti-consumer. Because if you add everything up, you end up spending more than you would have if you had just bought the thing. But it also lets people get in cheap. So that's okay. Like, what do you think about that as a design decision?
I like it from the guy who bought a digital edition perspective, because I don't have a Blu-ray on mine. But I think that it's kind of anti-consumer. I mean, you can't tell me that the cost for them is the same as it was 3 years ago when it first came out or anything. So they're making more on the console, more on the drive, more on the stand, more on everything now. So I would have liked to see it included in the box and just have it as like an add-on attachment if you felt like it, rather than a separately sold add-on.
Or make it a good deal cheaper.
Yeah.
If they hadn't raised the price of the digital edition, it'd be fine. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what prompted them to raise the price. I don't know, you know, what this cost them. I agree. Just my gut, right, tells me that it doesn't cost them as much as it seems, based on their pricing. And in fact, I've been saying for a while that their pricing this generation in particular has seemed out of touch. I like what Sony's been doing, but I don't like what they've been doing in terms of pricing when it comes to PSVR 2. And I understand that the tech in the PSVR 2 is very nice. I just don't think that that was a good price for a consumer VR headset. PS Portal, they did reach 200, but that's still, I know it's sold out. I'm not super confident that that's going to do well, but yeah, I don't know what to think about it being sold out. Like, I don't know if that's just we manufactured 10, so we sold out, or because I haven't seen that the interest that high. I bought one, you bought one, so maybe it's us, but yeah.
We bought both of them. I gotta say, when you're talking about the prices from Sony, I feel like they did so well last gen with PS4, they won, and then PS5, they won again, and now I feel like they're doing the same thing that we, the same thing that we saw Microsoft do during the Xbox One generation, where they were like, all right, we kicked everybody's butt last time, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do all of these things that will make us a bunch of money and make everybody mad because we're winning. I feel like every time one of these companies starts winning, they start doing really scummy things. Now, the raising of the price of the PS5, lame. I feel like the PS Portal, I think that that's a good price, and I also think it's, we've got some news that might make that even more, palatable, which we'll talk about in a second. But, you brought up the PSVR 2. We just had the Meta Quest 3 come out, and that thing's only $500. And that has, it's all by itself. Like, you don't need anything else. Right. Sure, the games probably won't look as good as they do on a PSVR 2, but I mean, that's so much more expensive. So I think that that's definitely something to think about. I mentioned the PS Portal, and this just came out from GN World, which I never heard of. I don't know what this website is. But this is actually pretty interesting. It says Sony will let you stream PS5 games to your PS5 soon. And somebody might be like, well, what the hell would I want to do that for? Well, so that you don't have to install it. There's one reason. You can do this on Xbox already. It's crazy that it took Sony this long to do it. They haven't mentioned anything about the PS Portal. But if you can stream this at 1080p to your PS5, you're going to be able to, I almost 100% guarantee that you are going to be able to stream to your PS Portal, which then makes this, not from your PS5, just from the cloud. That makes it a way more compelling product, in my opinion. Rich, you bought a PS Portal. Do you think that that's going to happen? I think it has to happen.
I think it has to happen. I think if this streams from my damn PS, from the cloud to the damn PS5 to the PS Portal, I'm going to be so bad. So angry.
That'd be amazing. That would be amazing.
I almost hope that it does, only so that just so for the memes, for the jokes, for the making fun of it, for the thumbnails, for the click-through rate on that stuff. But God, I hope not.
It would be hilarious. Not good. So I do think they have to. And when I was talking about the PS Portal price, the price is reasonable if the features that you expect to be there are there. The problem is there are not a lot of features. This is one of them, right? Like being able to stream PS5 games from the cloud, not need my PS5, that would be huge. Right now they're just talking about streaming to another PS5. So I'd like to see this on PC as well. It would be great to play this on our handhelds, right? So I'd like to see that, but it seems like they're not talking about that yet.
Well, this is all... it only streams with the premium PlayStation Plus tier, right?
Got it.
So you'd need to be subscribed to that, much like you have to subscribe to Game Pass Ultimate to get xCloud. What would be nice is if PlayStation... if a PC person that doesn't have a PlayStation at all can just subscribe to PSN Plus Premium,
right,
and stream whatever is in that catalog to their PC. I think it'll be less, I mean, it's still like nice if someone hasn't played some of those games, even though that the there's like some, you know, like maybe God of War Ragnarok might be inside of that library before it comes on PC. So there's going to be like this time window, yeah, of people that would like to play with that don't have it. So there's an interesting thing there, especially if you can do it on Steam Deck, right? Like, or any other handheld, where if it's Android, you can just download the PlayStation Plus app to stream to your phone. I think that's cool. I think that's I personally think that's really great. For me, I just hope that they solve that anything you play in there, the game can save properly to the PSN cloud, and then it could go to a PS5. I hope that whole thing works well, because that'd be the only ask from me. The only thing that's not very compelling to me is that if it's just the PSN premium library, it's all of PlayStation's older games. So they have to kind of figure that out.
So it's not in this article, but I had seen somewhere else where they had talked about the idea that you would also be able to stream games that you own. So not just the games that are in premium, but I can't find it in this article.
That's interesting as well.
Yeah. Well, nobody else is doing that. Microsoft is not doing that. The only other company that just let you straight up buy games and stream them was Google Stadia. And I thought that was the best. Not only was that the best streaming experience, but it was also the best, like, way to do it, because I didn't have to be subscribed. I could just buy a game and stream it. And if I could just buy a game and stream it, then I don't have to worry about, oh, I got to finish this game before it rotates out of whatever availability. Because once I buy it, then it's mine. If I can stream those games, that's compelling to me. Kyle, you're a PS5 guy. Are you going to be streaming games to your PS5, or are you like, I don't have the internet for that? What do you think?
I have the internet for it. I probably wouldn't. I'm more sensitive to graphical artifacting and stuff from streaming and the input latency. But I mean, it would be a game changer for a lot of people, especially if they decide to cut down the internal storage of the new PS5 or something. Or if you don't want to hook up an external drive, or for the PS Portal, assuming that it doesn't need a PS5 in the middle.
Yep.
God, if they do that, that's just so stupid. Okay, Rich, you added some stuff to the show notes that are PlayStation related. You want to hit us up?
Yeah. So the first one is PC Trophies, another sort of leak about it coming to PC. And this, so I say another because we heard about this back when Miles Morales was coming to PC, or came to PC. The data miners found evidence of trophies in Miles Morales, the PC port. So now people like TrueTrophies.com, they have these tools that are built to scan trophies so that they have like an up-to-date database of trophies on their platform. And so those scanners, if you actually scroll down a little bit, they found a new platform called PSPC. And so, you know, it's unclear if that means PlayStation PC, PlayStation Studios PC, something like that, but apparently means PC, right? So this is just a little bit of evidence that trophies should be coming to PC. No indication of when. Maybe Helldivers 2, that's coming in February and coming day and date with the PlayStation version. And then I'll just throw this in there too. There was also a job posting for a PC planning analyst at Sony PlayStation. By the way, just give the job to me. 4K, 60 FPS, Bloodborne. That's it.
I've done increased, my work.
Yeah, I've increased your revenue by billions. That's all you need to do. They're hiring someone for PC planning analyst. So it seems, you know, we were talking a couple of weeks ago about Jim Ryan stepping down and whether or not like that means anything for PC strategy with PlayStation. But it seems like, you know, they're definitely doubling down on that strategy. And I think we're only going to see more of that.
All right. So before we wrap up, because we are already past that hour, I did want to say that one of my favorite games that was on Google Stadia, that I think I might have actually mentioned a couple episodes ago, is coming to other platforms finally. It didn't die with Google Stadia, and that is Pac-Man Mega Tunnel Battle. If you have not played this game, it is really cool. You have, I think it's 16 rooms, and you play as Pac-Man. It was a you go around and you eat the ghosts and you eat the dots, you eat all, you know, clear off your board. But each room, you know how Pac-Man has tunnels on the side that you can leave one and come back to the other side? Well, you don't leave one. You go into other Pac-Man's boards, eat the power pellet, eat them, and whoever's the last Pac-Man standing wins. It's a battle royale game. As you play, the Pac-Man boards start to disappear. If you're on one that's going to disappear, you get a warning. It's like, you got to get off this board before this time or you're going to get killed. But you also have like power-ups, so like you can get a power-up and store it and be like, okay, I need to move faster now, push a button, now you're moving faster for a certain amount of time. Or you can make it so that the ghosts will follow you, so you can get the ghosts to follow you towards this other Pac-Man to kind of trap them. Or you can use a power-up to scare the ghosts away, so you can move to like one side, press that power up, and now the ghosts are going to turn and go towards the other Pac-Man. There's a lot of strategy to it, and it's really, really fun, and it's coming to like every platform. And so I cannot wait for this to come out. I hope it is a 100% free-to-play game and they just monetize the heck out of, you know, stupid hats for your Pac-Man, because that's like one of the things you could do is, as you played, you could earn like these doofy hats or like a tail or a trail that went behind you, or different graphics for like the walls of the maze that you're in, and all of that stuff was customizable. And that's if you make it a free-to-play game, you're gonna have like a ridiculous number of people playing, and you're gonna make up that money on the back end by them buying a stupid pair of sunglasses for their Pac-Man. At least that's how I look at it. So, did any of you guys have a chance to play Mega Tunnel Battle when it was on Stadia?
Nope.
Everybody shakes their head. No, you guys missed out, but you're going to get a chance to play it when it comes. it's so fun. And especially, I'm excited about that because I think Nintendo is shutting down the Pac-Man 99 on Nintendo Switch, which is a shame because that game's also really fun, a different style of Battle Royale Pac-Man. They're shutting that down, so now this is going to be the one, and I wonder if that's the reason why, because there can be only one. I'm not sure.
Yep.
All right, let's wrap up and talk about the videos that we got coming. I got a video coming out later on this week about how, you know, we owe Valve a little bit of thanks, so that's coming out later on this week. Carrie, you said you were working on catching up on projects. What videos are coming out this week from you?
I'm working on a few of them, but the most immediate one is B-Link sent me their SBC. It is the 7940HS. It's a really nice thing. It uses different RAM than LPDDR5X, so there's implications there. So I'm going to be covering that type of stuff and the types of things you can expect from them. But it's a very nice SBC if you were looking at something to just have like a PC in the living room type of situation. It's a nice small box that's not loud, so I'll be covering that.
Awesome. Very Kyle, cool. What about you, man? What are you working on?
I can't promise it'll be this week, but a Starfield deck dive.
Nice.
80% of the way through the testing for that.
Sweet.
So that's a game that we have not talked about on this show at all. I think I played it for about 10 minutes. Maybe, no, that's not true. I probably played it for an hour and guy got sleepy. And I don't blame the game. It just wasn't grabbing me. That's definitely a game that we need to talk about at some point in the near future, because I want to know what other people think about it. But if you want to figure out how to run that game well on your Steam Deck, then make sure you guys head over to Cryobyte 33 for that. Rich, what do you got coming up?
Yeah, so gonna have a news video this week, probably Tuesday, I think. Just Steam Deck news, talking about some of the stuff we talked about here, right? So definitely check that out. But also, I got the Aya Neo Kun recently, so nice. My review of that should be out later this week as well.
Awesome. And make sure that you guys check in the if you're watching this on YouTube, check out the description down below for links to all of these guys' channels. Make sure you go click there, click subscribe, turn on the bells and all that stuff. And we will see you all next time. Until then, stay rad, everybody. Bye-bye.